Morning. It is good to see you in the house, Lord, this morning. A little damp outside this morning, but the spirits are good in the house of the Lord. So just encourage you to take advantage of the opportunities that you have to be together every chance you get. Encourage you to be back tonight. Brother John will have a lesson for us tonight, and we always look forward to his lessons. And so we'll have a good worship service tonight, be back with us and stuff. So, well, we're getting close to the end of our 40 days of prayer, and I know it's been meaningful for many of us, some of the conversations I've had with you, and how you sort of see God just moving in our life, and as John shared, that he's had folks share with him some anecdotes about things that have happened during these 40 days, and so we'll be talking a little bit about it, but we'll be making a transition real soon. Easter Sunday falls on April the 1st this year. It's a sort of an early occurrence for Easter. So we're going to be beginning a series of lessons building up to the cross in just a few weeks. And so we'd love for you to be a part of that series as well. I enjoy our formats, the way we're doing it and looking at these series and stuff. But this morning's lesson is one just to sort of reflect on maybe each one of us, do a little self-reflection and where we want to be. But I guess if you want to give it a title, it's Hindered Prayers of Hindered Prayers. And there's a really challenging scripture sometimes that we sometimes can read it and see maybe patterns or ideals in it that maybe relate to us. Maybe sometimes we don't, but I guess, do you ever feel that your prayers are not being heard? I mean, maybe there's something that's really specific in your heart and your mind, and you keep praying it over and over and over again, and it's just not being heard. You feel like it's not being answered, or maybe it's for somebody that you just feel that you know are not where they need to be, and you keep praying the same prayer over and over again, and you don't see any spiritual movement in their life, and you get discouraged. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a situation where you feel like your prayers just really weren't getting where you thought they needed to get to? And I'll say, if that's your case, you're probably not alone. There's been a lot of folks through the Bible that prayed prayers that seemed to take a long time to be answered. But this morning, I want us to consider the possibility that sometimes maybe hindered prayers are prayed by hindered prayers. That is there something in how you're approaching God or where you're approaching God from that's keeping your prayer from being fulfilled or heard? So, three points we're going to look at. The first one is that hindered prayers are prayed by hindered prayers because their spiritual condition is not what it should be. That there's something in your spiritual life that's not what it should be. And so effective prayers are based upon the quality of our relationship with God. So if you know, James says the prayers of a righteous man avails much. Well, included in that is the prayers of an unrighteous person doesn't avail quite as much as the prayers of a righteous person, right? Okay? So, the effective prayers are based upon the quality of relationship with God. John chapter 9:31, this is that verse that sometimes gets taken out a lot and I think misinterpreted and misapplied. But in the situation in John chapter 1, there's a blind man. And Jesus heals the blind man of his blindness. Okay? And it causes a great turmoil amongst the Jews because of when the healing occurs and the fact that it's irrefutable that the man's now seeing. You know, they want the man's parents to give account for him. They say, ask him, he's of aging, answer for himself. And so they sort of challenge the man and they said, you know, this can't be by God. It must be by the powers of Satan. It can't be God answering this prayer. It must be other sources. And then the blind man says this, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. So the blind man sets up this premise that God does not hear sinners. But if people do His will, He hears them. He sort of talks about the quality of one's spiritual relationship to God on how well God's attuning to your prayers. Right? Now, every parent here knows this to be true. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Amen? Yeah, I heard you. You know, did you hear me? Yes. Okay, there's a difference. God hears prayers. God hears prayers, right? But depending upon our spiritual condition, He may not listen. I mean, there's a clear biblical pattern here that God hears righteous prayers. The blind man says if people are doing God's will, He hears them. And the fact that He hears and listens to them. And so James chapter 4, 8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You're double-minded. That if my prayers can be hindered by my spiritual condition, I need to think about my spiritual condition. Maybe the reason my prayer life's not going where it wants to go, or I'm not seeing the thing move my life, is because I'm not spiritually in a place for that to happen. There's an idea that we need to reflect upon what we're doing spiritually to make sure that we're close to God. If we draw near to Him, He draws near to us, but we've got to do something on our own part. In fact, in a few moments when we take the Lord's Supper, Paul says we need to reflect upon our own spiritual condition before we do this. To make sure we're doing it with the right spirit and the right heart. So one way my prayers may be hindered is that I'm hindering them by my own behavior. Hosea chapter 5, verse 19, I will return again to my place. They will acknowledge their offense. They will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. God says, when my people aren't doing right, I will go back to my place until they come back to me. And when they acknowledge what they've done wrong, and they look and seek my face, I will see their affliction. This is a great passage that talks sort of about where we've got to be spiritually for our prayers to be most effective. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 talks about the corporate response of the nation of Israel. But it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. My prayer lives can be affected by my spiritual condition. And how am I walking with God? He hears my prayers, but there's a difference between hearing and answering and listening. And God puts some conditional statements. Turn from your wicked ways. Cleanse your hearts. Purify your minds. God says, if you want me to hear you, move closer to me. Spiritually speaking, and I will. The second point this morning I'd like for you to consider is that hindered prayers are prayed by hindered prayers because they are not treating others as God would have them to. So the first one is about my spiritual condition with God. Am I where I ought to be for God to hear and honor my prayers? And the second point is, what's my relationship like with each other? And is there a way in which I need to reflect upon that? Maybe my prayers are not being answered because I'm not in the right kind of relationship with people. And God can't honor my prayers because my place with others is not where it ought to be. In fact, Ezekiel chapter 8, 17 through 18, and he said to me, that is Ezekiel, have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abomination which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and they have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch to their noses about them worshiping in these high places where these trees were. Therefore, I also will act in fury. My eyes will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. And God says, listen, my people have gotten so violent toward one another. They're so far removed from me. They're pursuing idolatry. They're going to these high places, these groves where these trees are, and they're smelling of the branches. They're so far from me and so evil toward one another, I'm not going to hear them. This is a principle that we see in Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Peter says, "Husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, that is, your wife, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers may not be hindered." It's a biblical pattern. If we want God to hear us, we must be spiritually in the right place with God. But we also have to be in the right relationship with other people. And how I treat other people, the grace I give others, the forgiveness I give others, the love I give others matters to God. To the point He says, listen, you may be pouring your heart out to me, you may be fervently asking for something, but if you look around and see the people in your life, the relationships with them are not what it ought to be, get that stuff right. Then I can hear you. It matters how we treat each other. And Paul specifically tells the husbands, your relationship with your wife matters. You're called to be spiritual leaders. But if you're not leading with love and loving your wife and paying honor to her and respecting her, your prayers are hindered. So not only is my relationship with God important in my prayer life, but my relationship with one another is important in our prayer life. Today's prayer was about praying for God to bring us future leaders and the idea that corporately we need to be mindful of this. To pray for leadership, but also to pray for future leaders. We've passed a big milestone here at Netherland to have a 100th anniversary. That's a big milestone. But we want this church to be here till the Lord returns, right? Whether it's in this day, tomorrow, the next day, or 100 years from now. But we have to make sure that our relationships are right with one another here. Because poor relationships can lead to hindered prayers. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. Jesus says it in the Gospel of John, and John will pick up with it over and over and over again, that God calls us to love one another. This is how Jesus says that we will prove that we are followers of Him about how we love one another. When we think about those unanswered prayers, those prayers that we feel like just aren't getting through, do we ever think that there's something in my life that may be preventing that from happening? If I'm praying for the lost, because there's someone I care for who is lost. But yet when they reflect upon my life, that my relationships with other people just are not quite what they ought to be. Does that give them justification for being stubborn toward God? Because they look at our lives and say, well, you know, they're not what they say they are. You see, that God is honored when we show each other God-like love. When we really demonstrate to other people that God is in us. Paul says on another occasion that we should forgive one another just as Christ forgave us. It's a really big step to take, to forgive like Jesus forgave. Right? So what does that mean? That means to forgive other people even when they don't ask for forgiveness sometimes. Forgiveness is a decision or a choice that does not necessarily be based upon other people's behavior. I can choose to forgive. What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I will grant you that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit, the Scripture says in Acts, but as he was being stoned to death, what did he say? Do not count this sin against them. Lay not this sin against their charge. You see, how we feel toward others may indicate how effective our prayer life can be. So, if we refuse to listen to God, how do we think He should listen to us? So if our heart spiritually doesn't say we're where we ought to be toward God, and I know I have bitterness and resentment in my heart toward my brother or my sister, how can I really expect God to listen to me? Jesus even made reunification of broken relationships a priority before He made a gift at the temple. He said, if you go to the temple to offer a gift, you remember you have a situation against your brother, go first reconcile with your brother, then come back and make your gift. I mean, that's putting even relationship before worship and sacrifice. And this is something that God calls us to. So effective prayers are based upon the quality of our relationship with one another. Effective prayers are based upon the quality of our relationship with God and the quality of our relationship with one another. The last point, hindered prayers are prayed by hindered prayers because of where their faith is not where it should be. This is a challenge for us to grow our prayers. It's also a challenge for us to grow our faith. Now, I'll tell you, there's nothing like getting excited when you pray for something in faith and God answers it. And I mean, it's a big step, right? I mean, it's a big affirmation that things are pretty good. Okay. But sometimes I think we're guilty of praying things we really don't think God's going to answer. But we feel an obligation to pray it anyway. Well, I'm supposed to pray for the lost because that's what God wants me to do, so I pray for the lost. I'm supposed to pray for this because that's what God wants me to do, because I'm going to pray for this. But we really are in doubt that anything's going to change. But we feel an obligation to do it because we feel like we ought to, but we really feel a doubt. And there was sort of this situation, and I'll get to it in just a minute, but let's look at Luke 17, 3 through 6 first. Take heed to yourselves, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, if he repents, forgive him. Now this sounds just like point 2, doesn't it? That if I have a situation between someone else, I need to be mindful of it. If he sins against you 7 times a day, and 7 times a day returns to you saying, I repent, you should forgive him. So can you imagine a day in which there's someone who messed your day up and say, oh, I forgive you. And they do it 7 more times that day and say, I'm sorry. And you still forgive them? That's what Jesus is saying here, right? And why did the apostles respond to this? What was the apostles' response to this premise that if a brother messes you up, does something to offend you, something to hurt you, and he does that 7 times in a day, what are you supposed to do? Church, forgive him. So what's their response? I don't have that much faith. I don't have that much faith in him. I don't have that much faith in him. What did they say? What was their response? Lord, increase our faith. Because we don't have that kind of faith, Lord. I don't have that kind of faith to think that you're going to make this work out. Or I don't have that kind of faith to think you're going to keep a score of this, God, because you know this person's really wearing me out here. And I think I need to keep the record. You know, some of us walk around relationships with little notepads. Okay, there's one. Yeah, and there's one. Oh, there's another one. And then when we get upset, we give them a litany of everything they've ever done wrong. What does he say? Forgive it. Well, the apostle response,
You better increase our faith if you're going to ask us to do that.
So some of the things that we see so difficult is really a faith issue. And so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So sometimes our prayers are being hindered by the state and quality of our faith. James 4, 3 through 4, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know the friendship of the world's image with God? Whoever there wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. See, we're running fast and loose with our spiritual life here. Our faith is not defining it. In fact, James says that we're not real careful. We stay so close to the edge to the world that God doesn't hear us. We're not where we ought to be with our faith. We're not where we ought to be with our walk. This is the story I alluded to earlier. Now, there's a young man, and his father brings him to the apostles. Now, there's an occupational hazard on my end. When I read some of these stories, I'm trying to figure out what's the diagnosis. Okay. This young man is mute. He appears to have something like epilepsy and maybe something like autism, because he just seems to not get things, and he does dangerous things and doesn't seem to understand it. And he's possessed by a spirit, how the Bible describes it. And the apostles try, but they can't help him. So they bring to Jesus, and Jesus heals him. And everybody's somewhat shocked by this. But there's an interesting exchange between the Father and Jesus. And Jesus, if you believe, this is possible. Which indicates a little bit that even though the request was to be made to the apostles, and even though the apostles heard the request and attempt, they really didn't believe anything be done for this kid. I really do believe, based upon the text here, that they thought this was a lost cause. They went through the actions and motions of it, but they really didn't think it was going to happen. They just didn't have the faith anything could happen. And the Father says, if you can do anything to Jesus, if you can, he's talking to Jesus, if you can, please do it. So he even had doubt. His faith was not where it should be. And Jesus says, if you believe. What does the Father say? If you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Interesting statement, isn't it? He more or less is saying, Lord, I want to have faith. Lord, I want to believe what you say, but I'm just not there yet. It's just like that earlier statement about forgiving that brother seven times in a day. Increase our faith. We know what we need to get there faith-wise. We're just not there yet. So here's this man making this request. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And the apostles are marveled. And Jesus says, you know, later they said, you know, how did this happen? When we could not cast it out. And Jesus said, this kind of can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, there's a couple of different ways people interpret this. Some people say, listen, this is only done through the excessive prayer and excessive fasting. Well, the context didn't say Jesus had been praying or fasting necessarily to heal this or make this happen. I think the context of this means that this is something that you've committed to God through personal dedication. That's typically what prayer and fasting indicate. That you want God to reveal this to you, not upon where you are, but where you ought to be. So when we look at this, Effective prayers are based upon the quality of faith. And we reach the point, I think, sometimes when we're in that low spot. And I'll be real honest, it would be really great if you begin here with your spiritual walk at baptism, and it just gets higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. It just gets, your faith just grows and grows and grows, and your prayer life just grows and grows and grows. I wished it looked like that. But unfortunately, it's more like the stock market, isn't it? Up and down, 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 and up. Oh, there may be periods of times where you're averaging pretty good, but there's also moments of times where you're in a spiritual recession, or spiritual speaking, you're in a depression, right? That's the human condition. Now, I think that's why God just didn't give us a plan of salvation. He says, now go Lone Ranger this, go Rambo this, go do it on your own. God says, okay, I'm going to bring you into a family of Christ, and you're going to be there to encourage and edify one another. You're going to be strong when I'm weak, and I'm going to be weak when you're strong. That somehow we do it together. When we come together, we stir up love and good works, as evidenced by our relationships. So effective prayers are based upon my spiritual relationship with God, the quality of it. My effective praying is based upon my relationships with other people. And effective prayers are based upon the quality of my faith. Where is it? And basically, do I really believe my prayers matter? Am I like that Father's request? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I have faith, but I need to have faith to believe that this is something you're going to answer. And maybe we need to be like that Father and not afraid to ask for help. Lay it before God and ask for help. I guess the thing, the personal contemplation as we bring this lesson to an end this morning is, am I hindering my prayers? Is there something in my personal relationship with God that's not where it should be? Is there something in my personal relationship with others that's not where it should be? Or is there something in my faith that is not where it should be? That I need to individually work toward that understanding of how big God is and how things are possible through Him, by Him, and because of Him. And how I need to put my faith and trust in that. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Just, I think we can all recognize there are things in our life that we probably could be better. But then we're going to stand and sing a song of invitation. If you're here this morning, don't be afraid to ask for help. If you have a need in your heart, in your life, if you've yet to proclaim that great proclamation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He died for your sin, we would love to witness that this morning. We'd love to share that moment of joy with you. Let's have a word of prayer, then Brother Adam and Lisa in prayer. Lead us to the song. Gracious Father, we know that sometimes we're not where we ought to be. And Lord, we know sometimes relationships are not where they ought to be, to Lord. And Father, sometimes we know that our faith is not what You've called us to have and how You've called us, Heavenly Father, to grow and perfect our faith, to Lord. And Father, we get lazy and we get mindless and Father, we sometimes lose our passion for You. Lord, we pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that You will help us not to have anything in our life that hinders our prayers, that we will be mindful, Heavenly Father, of the things that are undone in our life that we're praying about, Lord, and just, Heavenly Father, try to recognize either that is you're waiting to answer, Heavenly Father, or you're answering in a different way, Lord, And Father, even the possibility, Lord, that there's something in my life, dear Lord, that keeps that prayer from being answered. And Father, You help us to be open and honest with ourselves about that. And help us to share the burdens we have with each other, Heavenly Father, in such a way, dear Lord, that our prayers be not hindered. Dear Lord, we're thankful for this 40 days we've been spending, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we pray that You lead us to the end of this time, Heavenly Father, in which in a very powerful way, Lord, our prayers, Heavenly Father, have
effectively helped us individually and collectively. Heavenly Father, as your children, Lord, and may we continue to see the fruit of these prayers in days to come. Heavenly Father, if someone needs courage this morning, we pray courage for them, Heavenly Father. Lord, if someone needs humility this morning, Heavenly Father, we pray humility for them, dear Lord. If someone needs hope this morning, Heavenly Father, we pray hope for them, dear Lord. Help them, dear Lord, realize that this moment is not a place of judgment, but a place of peace. We ask all this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.